Welcome to the April meeting of the Development Review Board for the Town of Richmond. We have a fairly full agenda, so we'll try and get through it. If you have an interest for you, for those out there in the audience and those zooming in, if you wish to comment on an application, please do so by giving written or oral testimony on an application. That would allow you to be qualified as what's called an interested party under the laws of the state of Vermont, which would give you the right to appeal some decision that we may or may not make. Having said that, first on the agenda is All Cycle Waste Inc. Come on up. Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is John Gay. I'm an engineer for Casella Waste Systems.
Okay, let me swear you in. You swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Why don't you tell us what you have in mind here? I know it's a continuance.
Yeah, so it's a continuation for the minor improvements we want to make to the drop-off on Rogers Lane. So last time we were here, we discussed the change in the traffic movement. There was some interest in adding some signage so that the users could get adjusted to the change in the traffic flow and for safety, of course. So we have done that, and it's reflected on the attached site plan. We have signage on the fence exiting that indicates that traffic must stop. And then we're going to, if approved, we're going to paint the bars on the asphalt to not block the exit, so users can exit onto Rogers Lane. And then I think probably the other main element that had not been addressed previously was the floodplain topic.
Correct.
It's just a public thing about this projection.
Oh,
and is this microphone on? Yeah, should it be on?
Pick it up.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Great. We, with Kayla's help, we found a consultant that specializes in floodplain management. And so we have addressed the issues with potential floods and making sure various features on site don't float away in a flood event.
So according to the last staff report that I had, a lot of that wasn't taken care of yet, is it?
We got approval from Kyle Medash today at like 4:30. Oh, really? So I forwarded to you when I saw it, like probably almost 6.
I can
project it though.
Well, we could review it. Roger, have you had a chance to read it?
No, I just saw it when I walked in here. It's on my screen.
Okay.
Not ready.
So I do have a question for you on the site plan. It looks like you're now going to enter where it says proposed entrance for traffic, obviously.
Correct.
And then you're going to exit down where it used to be exit.
No,
same place. Okay.
We're gonna enter where it used to be an exit, and we're gonna exit where it used to be an enter.
Okay.
We think that's going to provide more queuing. We discussed, I think, that in quite a lot of detail at the last meeting. It's going to provide more queuing on Rogers Lane for the traffic on Saturdays.
Can you tell us a little bit about the signage that you plan to tell people? I mean, once they get used to the idea, they'll do it. But when I was exiting, even a week ago, somebody was coming in the old entrance and I was trying to get out. So are you going to have some significant signage, or are you just going to, I mean, the sign that was there was blown over, so you couldn't tell what was going on.
So we're going to have, I don't know what you mean by significant.
Well, you're going to have something on that you can see, not that's more on the ground necessarily, but something that's visible and it's permanent.
Yes. Yes.
And it, not just on the ground where it'll get covered with snow, but, you know, in right. front well, of you, so that when people drive in there, they'll be able to tell where to turn enter and
not enter. Sign. That's correct.
I'm sorry?
We will have an enter and an exit sign. Yes.
And are you going to mark the parking spaces?
Yeah, we're going to, so we're doing two things out there on the asphalt. We're going to remove the arrows that were obviously showing going the opposite direction. And we will refresh the existing lines that are there. We'll repaint those. And then we're going to paint the do not block for the exit as well. Again, if approved.
And traffic will be warned that they'll be turning into the oncoming lane of some sort? Or are you going to leave that up to the driver?
Well, there'll be a stop sign on
there. There will be a stop sign.
There is one now, actually, a permanent one. I can't recall if it's on the fence or on the gate, one or the other. So it's right there, you know, as you're kind of looking left to turn left, it's right there. And I think that, you know, once people get used to the change in the traffic movement, I think everything will flow.
Have you experienced a busy day there yet?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I haven't been there myself on a Saturday. So I can't speak to that. I don't have the operations guys with me.
I understand. Did you, when you came up with the idea of changing the entrances, I know that you had in mind keeping the traffic on Rogers Avenue and off 117, but did you have somebody look at the idea of what the cars were going to do once they got in there and backing up and pulling forward in that large space that was kind of, I mean, did anybody look at this, or was just the, from a standpoint of activity within that space as opposed to just coming in and out?
Yeah, I wasn't directly involved with those discussions, but certainly, and we have, you know, probably 20 of these around the state of Vermont. And it's just based on experience. We thought that the traffic flow would be better coming in against the back side of the site. And for all intents and purposes, I mean, with the parking not changing, the action of placing waste recycling and the compost is all in the same area it was before.
Right, I know.
And they actually have more room to turn into the parking lanes than before.
Okay, I have no more.
Have you had a chance to, Kayla, look at the report from the floodplain people?
It's pretty simple. It's just stating that it does comply. Let me pull it up.
So it's markedly different than his last report.
Yeah. It's up on the screen now. You want to read it? It's just a couple sentences.
I guess.
there's a recommendation for you all.
Basically, we're going to install flood vents in the structures. That's, you know, so the structures that were there historically apparently never had flood vents. So, you know, with the changes to the site plan that we had and traffic flow that we had proposed to the town, there was a request to have the floodplain manager review the site for the first time, apparently, for floods. So essentially the structures are going to have the flood vents installed. The used oil tank will be strapped down, and the compost area, the totes will be, there'll be cable there to strap the totes together so they don't float away.
Okay. Any comments from Matt or David?
Not right now.
Okay. Any comments from the public? Either on Zoom or in the audience? Nope. Anything else from the applicant?
Nope.
What would y'all like to do with this? I'd like to discuss a few things, so maybe we should
go to it. I'll move that we go into deliberative session.
Great.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we have, aye. We'll go into deliberative session. We have 45 days to make a decision, which we will certainly try to do and get that to you. And then you're off and running.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, can you hear me okay now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Work that out finally.
Okay, next on the agenda, Gary and Jean Bressor, applicant requests a conditional use review for first floor addition of 130 square feet more or less, and a second floor addition of 498 square feet more or less within the shoreline protection overlay district. Pursuant to 6.7 of the shoreline protection overlay district and 4.8 setback modifications, the DRV can review and approval is required. Proposals located in the agricultural residential zone at 401 Bridge Street. So, Gary and Jean, how are you?
Good, David.
Hi. Okay, let me swear you in. You both swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
We do.
What do you have in mind here? Why don't you tell us?
All right, so we have a previous approval that we've been poking away on for years, and we hope this year to actually make some significant gains. And we're looking at it, and I realized that if we added this small amount of square footage, we could get a first floor bedroom in. And I hate to admit it, but I'm getting to the age where I think about those things, where stairways aren't really an impediment yet, but I can see where they could become one. So that's the main thing. The other thing on the second floor was an oversight on the earlier approval. I didn't include the second floor square footage, so we're just adding that back in, or adding it in. So in terms of the footprint of the building, of what's approved, we're adding 120 square feet.
Okay.
The previous approval, you know, the house we live in was built 40 years before zoning came in by my grandfather, and he built it where, by today's standards, it doesn't meet the front yard, side yard, or rear yard setback. So when we came in for that earlier approval, the board did approve expansion, which is, we've done the bulk of. The house has changed quite a bit since that approval.
Okay, Gary, to tell you the truth, one of the most fielded comments that I get in my capacity as chairperson from people in Richmond is questions asking me when that house on the bridge is going to get finished.
Now, you think you get asked that a lot? I get asked that a lot too.
You might have a better answer than I don't know.
Well, the only thing I have on my construction schedule for other people this year is I have to build a small porch for somebody. And then right now it looks like the rest of the year I can spend here. So I'm expecting substantial changes on the outside over this year.
Okay. We've also changed our ordinance to say that after 2 years, if you're not complete to a CO from the granting of a permit, you lose it. So you should keep that in mind, because you're way over 2 years on your last permits if that had been in force.
Huh. That's been changed, because that's not what my, you know, the permit, I meant the requirements.
That only has to do with permits after the new ordinance was passed. So you're, it doesn't affect, it doesn't grandfather, so to speak.
Yeah. So when was that?
Would apply to any permit that we would now grant.
Yeah. So what date was that change? I know there's been a lot of changes that I haven't totally followed.
October 2021.
Yeah, let's see, I've got it here. October 25th of 2021.
Huh. Didn't know about that.
That's why I thought I'd tell you.
Yeah. So it doesn't affect any permit that's been, it's a grandfathered though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Good.
Any questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay. Any questions from public? Nope. What would y'all like to do with this? This looks like it's a fairly simple change in the mat.
I would move to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. We've approved it and we'll get a letter out as soon as we can.
Great. That's never happened in all the times I've gone before you that you've actually approved it.
I was just about to say that. I agree with you.
And the clock is now ticking.
Right. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is, it has to be the fastest press or hearing we've ever had.
Never. Let's come back.
Come back.
Okay. Next on our agenda is Emily Dawson. Applicant requests subdivision sketch plan review for a 14.94 acre lot into two lots of 2.32 acres and 16.62 acres. The smaller lot fronts on Snipe Ireland Road and is not within the flood hazard area. The sketch plan requirements per section 200 and 210 of the Town of Richmond's regulations. Proposals located in the Agres zoning district at 1027 Snipe Ireland Road. Who's going to speak for the applicant?
Scott Baker with Barnard Jarvis, and I was going to ask if you could swear the three of us in, Emily Dawson and Ryan Mather.
Sure. Do you all three swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Why don't you come up so you can speak into the microphone and tell us what you have in mind.
And I did bring a full-size paper print. I don't know if it's useful for you folks.
It's easier to read than my 8.5 by 11. There's an easel right there if you want to set that up.
Firstly, thanks for having us here.
Can you tilt it out a little bit?
Never use that.
It's tricky.
Yeah, it's a little.
There used to be little clips on it.
It's upside down.
Yeah,
nice to meet you.
Thanks, Scott. Yes, Scott Baker with Barnard Jarvis. Been a couple of years since I've been before the board, since before COVID, so nice to see you again. So for this project, the parcel is just under 15 acres, 14.94 acres in the agricultural residential district. And it's one of these kind of long spaghetti lots off the western side of Snipe Ireland. And there's an existing house, two bedrooms, that's up close to the road. And the property is pretty well naturally suited for a second house site that is just uphill a little bit to the west, where there's an existing clearing and a plateau. And beyond that to the west is our steep slopes and hardwood forest that extends all the way back to the Vermont Youth Conservation Corps parcel. So what Emily and Ryan are looking to do is to do a two-lot subdivision that would keep the development out of the approximately 15 acres, pushed up to the road, occupying only about maybe 3 acres or so. And this, the board had evaluated this about 10 years ago, and it didn't go past preliminary, but some of the issues were raised at that time. And so we tried to do our due diligence in addressing those as well to maybe have a head start. So a couple of the items that were addressed the last time were the potential impacts of the deer wintering yard and the wildlife habitat block, as well as the driveway and the slopes and drainage pertaining to the driveway. So it's a little bit tough to see with all the lines on here, but the yellow lines are represent the deer wintering yard, which occupies the space between those. And I did provide a printout from the ANR natural resources map that shows those, a little more clearly. And I think, yeah, it's down a little bit farther. There they are. So that the pale yellow is the deer wintering yard, and the green is a high quality wildlife habitat block. So what, and thank you for zooming in, you can just barely see from this point
that the proposed house that we're looking at is kind of just in here. The deer wintering yard kind of loops around this open field, and the line for the habitat block comes across here. I don't know that the actual line for the wildlife goes is that sharp. I think it's more of a generalization. So
we've tried to provide a building envelope that fits within that deer wintering yard right at the edge of the wildlife habitat block. And the other item to mention
here, that right about the edge of this field is where the steep slopes start to come up 20-30% and more. So what we're looking to do is to locate the house right at the foot of the hill, right at the edge of the field, up against the slopes, not into the slopes where we're getting into excavation drainage problems, but against the edge so that we can preserve the bulk of the existing clearing as is,
and have a house that's kind of tucked at that field forest edge. There's an existing wastewater permit for the existing house. We will be applying for a wastewater permit for the proposed house.
The system for lot one is on lot two already.
Existing system. Oh, it is. Yes, I'm sorry. That's constructed. Yes, that's the. Sorry. The existing system
is up there on the top.
Is,
there.
Yes, I'm sorry. Are the thinner lines up here, and these bolder lines trimmed laterals would be for the proposed system.
And then, just so I don't keep going on with the presentation here, the last thing I wanted to mention was the driveway slope. That was something that had been mentioned previously. So I kind of touched on in more detail with Kayla, but the gist of it is that it's a fairly low slope from the road in for the first maybe a couple hundred feet. And then, there's a rise. And as we have it laid out right now, it gets up to about 14%.
So it's fairly level in here. It rises more steeply at about 14% here, and then it flattens out again at the top. So we've checked the map here, that 200 foot distance from the foundation out to the extent of where you can get up to 15% is around here. So, and so we're within that 200 feet, right, 183 feet.
And so we can even feather that out a little bit more, get it down to even just under 14%. It's not something that we were particularly concerned about because it's fairly straight. If it were 14% going down a switchback turn or straight with a sharp turn at the end of it. We might be a little more concerned, but it's a nice, fairly straight shot, easy to get up and down. Then the final point that was raised from the last time was the drainage from the proposed impervious surface of the house and the driveway. The runoff from the house, we expect to have good opportunity to sheet flow across the opening, the driveway. There was a question about the size of the culvert, and that's something that we could, depending on what the board would like to see, we work with engineers who can either provide a fairly quick hydraulic analysis to size the culvert, and just to bring the culvert that I'm speaking of is right here. So the water, if the driveway were crowned and we shed water to the north, it would come down here through that culvert. It would be increasing the flow through there.
Is there an existing culvert there now?
Yes, an existing culvert to get up here. So one of the questions is this properly sized? If we're adding impervious surface from the driveway, is that runoff then going to come to the north and then overload that culvert? So a couple ideas that we had, which we're happy to do with the board first, is we could super elevate the edge of the driveway and keep all the runoff coming to the south and not putting it north and then through the culvert to come back under. Or we can look at what the flows are there, have our engineer calculate the flows and make sure the culvert is this size. So those are a couple ideas. And
you think you'll have that thought about by the final, by the time you apply for a final?
We certainly can. We work with engineers closely enough and think we can get a pretty quick turn. And then hopefully the impact, again, we expect the impact to be minor or negligible. Most of the runoff is going to be coming here and have a good vegetated surface to filter first. But we will be providing for the next step. We are planning to show the proposed grading, drainage swales, details for grasses, swale, stone check in if we need to, etc. So we'll have the driveway completely graded out so we can see where the water is going and how it moves. So we'll have that.
Okay. Which driveway serves the present dwelling?
Good question. So presently, there's a curb cut right here, which serves the existing house. There's a couple parking areas right here. And then it's shared because it goes off to serve the adjoining parcel as well. So what the current proposal here is to keep this driveway serving only two homes, but to extend it to lot two, and this driveway will no longer serve lot one. This driveway was proposing an access permit, may have even been issued 10 years ago or so for this. We'll get the pipe refreshment, but this is, so this would be the new access to serve the existing lot one.
And the driveway, the curb cut on that will serve lot two and is also serving the adjacent lot. How is that, a 60-foot curb cut or a 30-foot curb cut? You know? Or is it a curb at all up there? Probably not.
It's not a curb. I believe from the shape of it, our survey crew, you can see that curb. Our survey crew tried to shoot in, the edge of it. So it's almost like a double wide driveway, one and a half because the car split.
So essentially, the driveway that serves lot two will serve lot two exclusively.
Yes. For this, the curb cut will serve.
Right, I understand. But the driveway itself will cross lot one and serve lot two.
Exactly. Yes. So here's our 30-foot right of way here, and it inflects
and it meets up with the road right away.
Okay, and you will need when you come for final to bring us or furnish us with a copy of the right of way language that you intend to include.
Yes, and I do have in my list of notes
A number of items that I was hoping to run through you with you to say, here are the things that we'll prepare for next time. And of course, is there.
And we'll need easement language for this existing system, septic system.
We'll have easements for the existing lot one wastewater system located on lot two and the 30-foot right of way for access to lot two located on lot one.
Where do you contemplate the, where's the existing well now for lot one? On lot one or
it's on lot one. That's the existing well.
Is that is circle right there?
Okay. It is right here.
And what are you gonna drill a new one for lot two?
Yes, okay. And here's the proposed well. So we keep the systems clumped together here, existing well, and this was seemed to be the best spot to avoid overshadowing.
Right. Any questions for the board?
No.
Yeah, let's do Patrick first.
Does the sketch plan show limits of clearing associated with the construction of the home?
Not yet. We put on a building envelope, and sometimes we have the building envelope also serve as a limits of clearing. Other times we specify a different limits of clearing that may be beyond the building envelope. So that's something that we have not set out here on the sketch plan, but we can certainly add a limits of clearing if the board would like to see it different from the building envelope, or the two can coincide.
I think you'll need that so that the potential buyer is aware that they're sitting right on the edge of the deer yard and that wildlife corridor.
Absolutely, and forgive me, I didn't communicate clearly. There absolutely needs to be limits of clearing. The question is, should it coincide with the building envelope itself, or sometimes, you know, there might be a small building envelope and a larger clearing limits. In this case, you know, I think the intent is not to go ahead and clear up 30% slopes into the hardwood forest.
I'm sorry.
It's already a field at the top, so
oh,
it would just be like. It's stuff
dead,
depends
on how around it, otherwise, you know, right. Is there, question. Is yeah. there any clearing that you would anticipate doing that is outside of the mostly rectangular building envelope that we're showing with the little appendage for the garage? Sure. I said it's understandable. There's a lot of lines here.
So the building envelope, as we had again for sketch plan anyway, is this kind of bold dashed space line here that you brought up here. So so this building envelope, which is basically a rectangle with the little appendage for the garage, was laid out to fit outside of the deer wintering yard, check the box. This green line for the wildlife habitat block is the one that I said in my experience. The actual line of wildlife habitat is not that razor sharp. It's, you know, my experience, the wildlife habitat blocks are general. So what we saw is this, you know, the habitat block is this up here. You can see from the natural resources map. So we thought it was okay that this line was not actually that razor sharp of a line, and that what made sense would be to put the house up against that. So if the building envelope open, there's an existing shed right here tucked into this corner. And the thought of having the building envelope here is it might be
you know, another a shed, barn, something down the road, but not to like in the middle of the field, like the house off to the side.
We didn't see any clearing being outside of the business, outside of the envelope for the site. I don't see already field, so there's no.
Is the habitat you want to refer to, is that also part of the deer winning area? Is it a different?
It's separate. The two overlap partially, so they're mapped separately by A&R.
It's not a gradation of deer winning habitat.
No, it's they over the like transparencies that overlap that the A&R map shows it fairly well, but they overlap at times and they're completely discontinuous at others. I expect that the mapping criteria are just different. The deer yards tend to be soft, you know, hard softwoods rather. This forest, as I understand, has its value for being a hardwood forest. So that's why there's not a lot of overlap between the deer yard and the wildlife habitat block, because they're different types of habitat. So our thought, one of the comments from the 10 years ago was try to stay out of the deer wintering yard. And so that's what we've tried to do with the building envelope. And like I said, I think that habitat block, you can see from the resolution of the line is mapped at an order of 100 foot increments or so. So it's a kind of a low resolution mapping, I would say. And yeah, so the idea is
that scale. It's
exactly. So keep it out of the just the bulk of it and try to put the house right at the edge.
You know, my understanding of impacts to deer yards are there's direct and indirect, right? So if you have a home and associated domestic uses up against the deer yard, it expects some impacts. And we don't have the wording in front of me, but I think we need to look at whether the proposed use will have adverse impacts on that habitat. So the state does publish, you know, guidelines for, you know, mitigating impacts, and it might be advisable to seek input from state wildlife biologists concerning the plans, and to the extent that mitigation is necessary in terms of preservation of habitat and so forth, I would be advisable to come in with that with your next round. I want to clarify the previous concerns regarding the culvert. So were those concerns expressed by the board? Was that?
Yes, or actually, I think with the previous concern were more that there wasn't a lot of, from 10 years ago, there just wasn't a lot of information presented about slope and length and all that. So what we did, so to prepare for the sketch plan, and again, you can't even see it on here, but along the center line of that drive, we called out different increments of slopes.
Yep.
But the, so I think the, and Caleb might be able to correct me better on this, having done the staff report. But I believe the gist of the comments 10 years ago was that there just wasn't enough information to make a decision and to provide guidance. Here we provided enough more information on the width, the slopes, which enabled Kayla to come in and say, okay, here the driveway appears to comply with the slope and the exception within 200 feet of the house, but now you need to show the you know, size the culvert and make sure that the impact isn't overwhelming it. So
what is the size of the culvert? Sorry, if you want
to. No, I might be able to provide a little clarity from the initial one, since that we got the idea that this was preliminary, that this we were getting assistance with it, and we decided they had said that it was like preliminarily approved, but we had to bring in some more stuff, and then we just never
didn't get around to it.
We just, yeah.
Yeah, my understanding was that it was approved and just never was continued by your own choice, but I wasn't sure any background on it.
Yeah,
that's it. So we've got more information now on the width, the slope, and the location. So I understand it now that you want to see the grading along the driveway. and a hydraulic analysis by a PE, you know, just to for assurance that
culvert's
it's culvert size.
How big is the culvert?
I'm not sure if you recall. It's I would guess it's pretty small. Is it a couple feet? It is? It is 3 feet. Okay.
Yes. Is it in decent shape?
I don't know.
I haven't crawled in there lately.
But it's probably.
Was it galvanized or plastic?
It was galvanized, but you know, I don't know when it. I can't guess it's in good shape, but it's not a lot of water that goes through it, it's triple.
Yeah. We can certainly get more information on it for next time. We can get photos. I'm certain that our surveyors always get the size and material of culverts when they shoot them in. So I'm sure we have it in our data.
Right. I was just curious. It's not important at this point, especially if you're going to do a hydraulic analysis. So obviously they'll do it as part of that.
Sure, exactly.
David, you had some questions?
No.
No.
It would have been Matt. May have said no, though. I couldn't quite hear him.
Oh, Matt, are you?
No, I'm good. I'm good for right now, too.
Okay. Roger. Anybody in the public have any comments? In the audience or on the screen?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Cameron Wong. I just purchased the property from Jill Allaire to the north of the Dawsons. I just had a question. In the 2012, I was reading the notes when I got the notice that there was a need for an easement, and I was just curious as to what that easement is and if it's still necessary.
Hi, Cameron. This is Scott Baker with Barnard Jarvis. There are two easements that are proposed as part of the project, and they're both located on Emily's lot. There's one easement will be a 30-foot wide right-of-way along the driveway to cross lot one to access the lot two house. So that's one easement. The other easement would be a wastewater easement for the existing septic system for the lot one house to be located on proposed lot two. So those are the two proposed easements, and they're both located on Emily's parcel lot, one on lot one, one on lot two.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the curb cut totally on Emily's lot? No, it's on Mr. Wong's lot also?
Yeah, there's a place at the bottom that the driveway goes like that.
Right. So you may want someone to look at that language to make sure that you're not going to have some issues with an easement over that.
And it's a good point. It's really tight down here, but when we were laying out the easement, we laid it out such that we maintain a minimum of 30-foot right of way all the way until we meet the right. Snipe Ireland right of way. So it never necks down narrower than that. And you see that where this comes in, you know, there's room for a car that the property isn't quite exactly centered. It's super, you know, you might, if anything, it's, you know, do you put an easement here for about, you know, 5 feet, or can you fit here? You know, it's super, super tight in terms of who's coming in here. And conversely, if the Wongs are coming out here, do they need an easement? It's like almost, you know, not quite down the middle, but super close. But the thing is, the Snipe Ireland Road is here. So where that necks down Snipe Ireland Road right of way.
Right.
When it gets, and I can give you this dimension very accurately, but at this point where the Snipe Ireland Road at the edge of the right-of-way, where it meets the property line over to the existing edge of driveway,
you can see is probably about 12 feet. And then once you get into the right of way here, that's where it's more shared, obviously. So again, I think for purposes of tonight with the full agenda, I understand the concern. Let me make a note of it. And when we present the next plan at a larger scale, we'll be able to see more.
Great. Does that answer your question, Mr. Wong?
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just going off of previous documents and what Ms. Allaire has told us. So this is the first time that I've actually, like, you know, seen a lot of this. So I think that's fine for now. I just wanted to see, you know, as the new owners, if there's any necessary involvement on our side at all, that's all.
Sure. The existing Dawson driveway gets into the Snipe Ireland Road right of way before it crosses the property line, the northern property line. That's the critical point there, is that the width of the driveway, Dawson driveway, gets into the Snipe Ireland Road right of way before crossing the property line. The extended property line, I should say, into the center of the right of way. But you will, again, I apologize, the scale I believe is 1 to 150 or something. We'll have a 20 or 30 scale site plan that will show that much more clearly.
I'm curious if you know, the lots, the way they're set up here, are they described as lots, and are they, is this an actual subdivided lot, or is it a meets and bounds description?
It was a subdivided lot by John Marsh, which was part of the problem, and that's part of the reason why it took 10 years to get sorted out. Button surveyors, Chris Haggerty, right, just did the boundary retracement plat for this. And that's now recorded. So these are lots that were done, that were subdivided by John Marsh. And Chris Haggerty did a spectacular job, I think, going through everything. And basically his conclusion in a nutshell was that Marsh's survey was correct in terms of all the features that he was representing. The problem is he drew it hundreds of feet off. He made certain assumptions on where the road was, and it threw everything off. So Chris Haggerty went in and retraced the survey based on the same monuments and features, and the result was that the shape of the parcel and the size was different, even though he held the same monuments and features. So it's the same survey, just drawn more accurately.
And does the lot line go to the center of the road, or does it go to the edge?
The lot line extends to the center.
All right. So they don't go to the center. I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was what I learned. And then it's a three rod right of way, 49.5 feet. My label was behind the property line. I'm sorry. Yeah. So it is extended to the center line, not the edge.
Any other comments from the public? Nope.
I did have just a super quick summary of item, but I just want to make sure I've got my ducks in order. So the items that I had that I was originally planning on preparing based on the comments previously and just the current regs, obviously for the next round, we'll have a draft survey plat, wastewater permit underway for the lot 2 house, the driveway maintenance agreement, draft deeds, including the easement language, a hydraulic analysis for the culvert sizing, the easement language as part of the deeds. So Mr. Wong can see that as well. Also, we'll connect with Fish and Wildlife, John Gabelli, if he's still there, someone about the about adverse impact to deer yards and how we can mitigate that. And then my last question, I guess, for the board would be for field markers. And I wanted to ask if that those would be useful. This some subdivision, it's hard to see what's happening. This one is pretty clear. There's a bottom and an upper. Be happy to put some markers in there, but they're going to be in the woods a little bit between the but we'll be going out there again and can pop some stakes. And if you'd like to see where that line falls at the bank.
That'd be good. Yeah. Then we'll have a liaison that'll go out.
How about the
once you're ready?
Okay. And would it help in addition for field markers if we staked the building envelope? If we took these corners, so we went out there and you could get a sense of it. I think it's more relevant as we get back into the up against the hillside. But if our guys are going to be out there to set some field markers, it's pretty really quick and easy to. Okay.
Yeah, we didn't really quite finish the conversation, perhaps on the distinction between marking limits of clearing and the building envelope. It's probably a good idea to have both. I imagine that'll come up as you're assessing the potential impacts to the deer yard.
And my only thought would be, if there's unless there's any other reason to separate the two, I think what Emily's saying is that if she doesn't anticipate any clearing beyond that, especially with the deer yard and hardwood forest.
Well, I think it sets it as a condition of the permit, and that's part of the record versus what the existing landowner anticipates doing in the short,
Yes. There. And it will also, what I'd like to do then is make the clearing limits encompass the building envelope, and I'll check with Jason Barner. We might want to include the wastewater area, obviously, so that we can maintain that. So I don't think the two will completely overlap. So we'll add that. I expect that the clearing limits will overlap the building envelope on basically on three sides, and then the limits of clearing will extend up to the north to encompass the wastewater area.
Is the existing area just a conventional system?
Yes, those are just in-ground trenches.
And is that what you're anticipating for the?
I believe so. It was Trudell who had actually designed it years ago, and I'm sure Jason Barnard will come in and he'll either pick up their design where they left off or do it on his on his own. But that's the general layout.
Anything else? Nope.
Thanks for.
I want to thank you. I thought it was very well prepared.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you. Well, we only had 10 years to work on it. So. thankfully, there's no two-year sunset on it. But great. Well, I think I've got good marching orders, and we'll be back.
Well, next time. We haven't closed it yet. So, what would y'all like to do?
It's a sketch, right?
Sketch plan. So we don't have to do anything. Okay.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is Erin. Could we move the microphone before we start the next hearing?
Could we what?
Mute.
Move it. Mute.
Yeah, could we move the audience mic so that it's pointing more towards the audience?
Oh, is this?
Just turn it. Just, that's it. Yep. Keep going.
I'm just trying to avoid it getting in the way of the projector.
No, we'll just have people come up if they need to speak.
Okay.
Yeah, the people always need to come up to the table to speak so we can hear them. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
And hey, while we're at it, can we move one of the microphones over so that the third board member, Patrick, could also have a mic? It looks like Roger has two mics. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roger.
Okay, next on the agenda is Jim Cochran and Kelly Ewald. Applicant requests subdivision amendment to final subdivision application 2019-119. Applicant wishes to amend driveway plans as well as condition of approval on original application decision regarding driveway grades. It's located in the Agres zoning district at 809 Milkweed Lane. I'm going to recuse myself. Matt, you're by Zoom, so if you don't have any big problem as vice chair. I thought Roger could chair this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Makes sense to me.
All right. Who's going to speak? Would you both come up if you're going to speak, please? All right. And you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but?
Yes.
We do? Okay, good. All right. Tell us what you have.
So I was hoping to have a conversation about our subdivision approval that we got, particularly the condition about changing the lower part of the driveway, the pre-existing driveway.
Right, I remember that.
On this this property, and it's I think for us to be able to come back and talk about this, it being how big of a change this would be and how much of an effect it would have on the landscape, our neighbors, the challenges associated with making this change to the existing driveway, we felt like it was worth coming back in front of you guys.
All right, maybe you can refresh my recollection, because I don't remember why we made the change. Was it just because of the grade of the driveway?
Yeah, and it was Suzanne really drilled down into this. She really seized on this thing, I felt like. And
that was Suzanne's way.
Yeah, it was the way.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think so. We approached this project when we came in for the sketch plan review and talked through our plan with subdividing and creating homesteads up higher, because the Washburn house, existing house, was already there. Then we talked about constructing a driveway to the driveway requirements. And our neighbor and brother-in-law, Tom, applied for an administrative subdivision first and was granted it with the driveway the way it is. And then, you know, we sort of kept going with our subdivision ourselves.
He built his house first with that driveway extension, and then we were up next. And we sort of were blindsided by the change that needed to be made to the lower part of the driveway.
When you were approved for the driveway the way it was it for all these lots or just for the one additional lot?
Yeah, so Tom's the first approval was just for his lot.
Right, and so when you came to us for the second approval, it was for the additional lots, and that's when
no change to the driveway at that point. Does that make sense? There's a pre-existing driveway to Roger's house.
Right, but my point is did the driveway requirement occur at the same time as you applied for the additional lots? Or were those lots already subdivided?
One was already subdivided.
One was, but not the rest.
Not ours.
Yeah. Right. So there are only two lots involved in the initial program here with the old driveway. And so when the additional lots were requested, that's when the driveway became an issue.
No. When the first lot was requested and approved, the driveway was not an issue.
Correct. But when the additional lots were...
When the next one was. So not plural. But
the clarification, though, is the first one was subdividing already. That's the first subdivision. So we went from... one to two, and the driveway requirement became a thing going from two to three.
But now you have more than three lots on your plan.
Yeah, there's five, right? Common.
So there's the common, the lower part is common, there's an upper common part, and then there's...
Okay, maybe someone point that out on.
In relation to houses, I think it's helpful.
Right, and gentlemen, if you're going to speak, just maybe try and scooch a little closer, just to make sure that we can pick you up.
It just sworn in too.
The original house that Jack and Mary built is here.
Right.
They had two lots down by the road that they had subdivided. When Tom's house was built up here, we combined those two into one lot,
and did an administrative subdivision for Tom's, right? I'm sorry, that was a boundary adjustment for Tom's. Then next up was Roger purchased this house that the three of us owned together. And so there was an administrative subdivision that was done to section off 10 acres around Roger's house. And then we applied for this subdivision to create a lot around this house lot up here. And so there's this remaining lot down by the road that's just, it's nothing. It's not a house or anything. There's all this common land that we own together. And then there are the three 10-acre plots associated with each house.
Okay, but the end result is, and my question is, how many building lots are going to be served by this road?
So it's just the three houses.
Okay, but how many? You've got more than three lots that are shown on this plat.
Yeah, there's two common lands.
I'm sorry. Can I swear you in? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. Sorry, I'm the famous lower lot. So there are three house lots. So there are three lots with homes on them, and a total of five lots, like Jim said. So I think there are three building lots. And if the issue is the number of lots, it is certainly possible to redraw the boundaries such that this becomes three lots instead of five lots.
My only question is you're asking us to approve a change in the road grade that is not within the standard regulations. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, standard regulations, I feel like it's gray, right?
Well, no, it's not gray, it's 12%.
Okay, so how?
I have no idea.
I'm supposed to speak to that as an expert.
Like, no, I'm not asking you to. All I'm saying is it not true that it's 12%?
I think just taking clarification of exactly what you're asking for, the roads, you know, the road requirements are what they are.
That's correct.
And so you're here to ask.
You're asking for a variance. This is a variance.
I don't think the pre-existing driveway is an issue. That was one of the things that we discussed the last time you were here. That's why you got stuck with 12%.
So I think there's kind of two pieces here. So the first is that the driveway exists, right? The driveway existed to my house. It then was approved and existed to Tom's house. So there is a driveway, and it's not in the spec now, but it is, I think, considered to be a grandfathered driveway.
That may be, but that serves one house and one lot.
It serves two houses.
Well, the one house that the house that's way up on top of the hill is the one that I'm concerned about, and what may fill in between that, and what's going to happen to the other 30 acres or so. That's what concerns me. When I give you,
we're not applying to add lots.
Well, I know you're not applying to add lots, but you already have five or six lots up there that can be built on.
So the three of us bought this property together, and we each intend to live there. But this isn't a housing development. We're not trying to fill this in the lots.
But the lots there are there. You've got the lots subdivided.
Sorry. So this lot is existing now, and the driveway, it has a CO. The driveway is approved and exists to this one, and to this house. And this is the portion of the driveway that's out of,
I understand,
grandfathered.
But what about the other lots? There's more lots up there that could be built on.
So there are certainly more lots, I suppose, that could be built on. If
we're not applying for that.
We're not applying to build on anything. And I guess here's the way that I have sort of looked at it. I understand there's a number of ways to look at it.
Yes.
The driveway regs say that it is a driveway up to three lots, three homes lots. Above that, it is a rural road. Above that, there are certainly big changes that would have to be made. That is definitely not what we're intending to do. That's not what we're here to ask for. What we're here just to say is that we have three lots that are served by an existing
driveway.
Three houses.
Three houses.
Yeah,
three houses
that are served.
There's a lot down here by the road.
Right.
And then there's this sort of common land lot. Honestly, I mean, we could. There's a number of things we could do to make this not a lot. Like I said, we could change the boundaries on each of these three lots so that it's just three lots and there's not another lot. We could make the access to this from Cochran's. You know, there's different ways that we could formalize that is not a building lot. So that's kind of my first suggestion is that these are three lots served by a driveway. The driveway has been there since I think Jackie and Barry built it in 92.
How wide is the driveway?
I think it's
12 feet, 16 feet.
12 feet. Yeah.
And is this.
Depends where in the spring you access it.
Are any of these plats recorded? Are these recorded plats or are they just.
Yeah.
They're recorded plats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say one thing too? Wait a minute. Yeah, swear me in.
Okay. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
All right.
Your name too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm Tom.
I hated to say that, but.
I'm the aforementioned brother that has a house up there. First off, I know this is hard. So thank you for even considering talking about this. These are difficult issues, and we're just happy to have this chance to talk about it. I just want to also clarify, like, the issue right now is the three lots you can see up high, and I get that. There's three lots up there, right?
Yes, one, five, and...
The three 10-acre lots that are kind of around. There's my house, the one Jim wants to build.
Okay.
And then the one, you know, to the west of us, or east of us. That, if we ever, we don't want to build on that other lot.
Well...
We don't want to do that.
Not at this instant.
So wouldn't we have to go through this whole process to build on that lot?
You would have to get it because it would have to, that driveway would have to serve more than three houses. You would have to have a different, different ballgame. And he's right about that. But my point is that I don't want to open Pandora's box and say, oh yeah, it's okay to have a driveway that is basically a non-regulation driveway and suddenly have 10 buildable lots up there.
Wouldn't we have to go through this whole process to get 10 buildable lots up there though?
Well, because I'm not sure what you have. That's what I'm getting at. I don't know that you don't have 10 buildable lots up
there. So, but we would have to come to you in the future and say, hey, guess what? We tricked you guys.
Yeah, well, that has been done before, you know?
But then you'll say, hey, we said you couldn't do this, and now you're trying to push through. I mean, I think, like, that would be very sneaky.
Just a question. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Question, is the contention that the regulation is being misapplied because of the number of lots, or is the contention that you need a variance from the regulation? It's not clear to me what you're asking.
Thank you.
Yes. So, I mean, my initial contention is that based on the number of lots, this is being misapplied. And that I think there have been two opposing determinations within the last 5 years. One being that we're going to issue a permit or a subdivision and a CO because the driveway was grandfathered. And one being we're not going to do that because the driveway is not grandfathered. So that's my initial contention is that there's, I would like to understand sort of which rule goes which way and why. And
was the driveway, Roger, the size of the driveway, was it increased? Did that initiate the grandparent status of the driveway because you expanded it to the new lot?
Hold on, say that again.
Is the grandparented status of the driveway terminated upon expansion such that when you lengthen?
I think the grandparented status, well, so again, I would say that no, the grandparented status of the driveway was not terminated because an additional house lot was permitted and built and issued a CO above the grandfathered portion of the driveway without requiring a change. You follow that, David?
Yep. Thank you.
And then point out. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
No, sorry.
Sorry, just curious to have my memory refresh. Which portions of the driveway don't meet the standard?
This is non-existing as of now that it's proposed. It's this, I think, from about accurate, Jim, from there to.
I can pull up potentially better.
And then the extended portion that meets. Yeah. That's why it's so long and windy. Yes.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I have something from a while back that should.
I also just want to clarify. So if we do fix that lower part, then we can put more lots up high. I don't want to do that, but I'm just curious. Is that how it would work?
We would have to build it to rural roads.
Right. So it would have to be a 60-foot wide road.
Have to be, yeah. But we would have to do that anyways, right? Based on what we're talking.
If it's more than three lots.
Well, it goes.
The whole road, though.
Yeah. It's yet a higher standard for what we're talking about here.
So the existing driveway, everything would have to be totally redone.
Correct. Yeah. Well, so it would have to be redone to the house, and then above the house, if there were only three lots, then it would still be a driveway.
Oh, okay. Except that.
Well, be careful.
More than three lots.
You can't do this piecemeal. Without having some plans for the lots that are undeveloped, if you were going to put in.
Yeah, we don't have plans for the lots.
Right, I understand.
We are not, that's, yeah.
Or we could say our plan is to not develop them. How about that?
Right. That is our plan for the undeveloped lots, is to leave them as undeveloped.
So what you're here to do today is to ask us to change the requirement that we made to so that we can reduce the grade of the driveway to basically match the driveway that you have to serve three lots, three houses.
I guess the request is to there's multiple layers of requests, but one is to allow these guys to get a CO and deal with the driveway issue without kind of holding them over a barrel on this building loan conversion to a term loan. So I'd say that's one important thing, is that they can move in. And,
okay, but
the driveway,
as far as we're concerned,
right, so the driveway question is the request is to say, let's leave this as the driveway that it is and allow for the addition of that third building lot above the grandfather portion of the driveway.
And the grade for that portion of the driveway that you want us to grant a request is how much? Is what?
15.
It's 15.
Is over the 12%, which is, if it was under 12%, then this.
Okay. And once again, and I'm sorry to keep doing this to you, show me where the two existing houses are.
So we're at Huntington Road here.
Right, I got it.
So driveway comes up through the field, up through the woods. The existing house, so this is Jackie and Barry's house. So this is the original house.
Okay, keep going.
So then this house was permitted and built in 2017.
Right.
So this house then now is built. So this was the additional driveway that was built to that house.
All right, and the proposed house will go
right there.
Okay, got it. Now I see. Okay, I get the picture.
And we have a construction permit that's being built. We're in within months of the CO. That's just
background. Hey guys, can I say something real quick?
Of course.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, man.
I'm on the road and I'm about to go through the Lincoln Tunnel, so I might lose you. And if I do, I'll have to call back in.
Is that it?
Maybe I won't. Yeah, maybe I won't. So if I drop out, it's not because I'm leaving. It's because I've just been disconnected and I will be reconnecting right after.
Okay.
Drive carefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not driving. Don't worry.
So, you know, I always put my arm out the elbow on the my elbow on the score. Right. You got anything?
Well, I mean, to David's point earlier, I don't hear you requesting a waiver.
It was my understanding waivers were not.
Right. I don't know that there's even a provision.
Yeah. For I mean, them. There's a, it's written, which is what I was thinking in the, it's actually in the rural road standards that, but it speaks to if you have three residential lots or less, you have to meet the driveway with standards. And it said, there's a sentence in there that says, you know, exceptions will not be readily available, which makes you think there would be exceptions, but something really is not from speaking with a town.
We intended to apply for that. I made that the reason we were here, but we were allowed to sort of propose the question.
But that was, yeah.
So we had to approach it differently. Otherwise, we couldn't get to it. So that's where we talked about severing and see.
Yeah, and I guess to sever that, you know, that requirement, we would need a basis for it, right? We need to find that, well, we misapplied the standard last time, to my thinking, or that, you know, you've requested a waiver and it's within our purview to grant that.
Yeah,
and
the waiver is at all possible. But one thing that is, I would assume fairly unique to this driveway is that it does have an operational stormwater permit from the state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
The existing driveway, not this red switchback thing. And so maybe that could be a condition for a waiver, because that is something that no developer is going to choose to, you know, the driveway for filling the stormwater. I don't know. That was one.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps it's a factor. Yeah, I mean, but I think, you know, the primary concern, or in my understanding, you know, the primary basis for that slope limitation is, you know, is for access and whether it's a, yeah. But
I guess I had a question kind of surrounding that. So one, I mean, there are a lot of driveways in Richmond that grandfathered in.
Right, but it's when you add to it. So if I'm on a steep driveway, that's fine because I'm grandfathered. But if I want to have it serve, you know, three or more homes, then I'm required to have it meet the standard if I'm adding homes.
So I think if it's more than three homes, is my understanding.
Okay. Yep. I misspoke. Yep.
But not to.
That I think.
And so we're at three homes, not more than three homes, right?
Yeah, I'd have to double check.
Well, that was one of the questions that I had looking through all this stuff. It's kind of like, what triggers the need to redo existing, I can see in zoning regs how, you know, existing structures are grandfathered and things like that. I just couldn't find sort of the tie of what would trigger us to need to redo that bottom part. Because that's what I'm getting at, is where we started this whole project and proceeded with the fact that we thought we didn't have to. You know, so that would be helpful, I think, to understand.
Right. So, but at the time, you know, when you got the permit for the, you know, the house on the top, you know, the new house wasn't proposed, right?
No, that was part of our like initial sketch plan, I guess. But
so, I mean, I think just we, like what we, what like, would trigger
the driveway, right? I mean, that was our plan. Oh,
Yeah, you know. I mean, I don't have a command of what happened back then, but just to your question of like, all right, what triggers the need to redo, it'd be like, all right, well, I have a skinny driveway, and if I decided to add a couple houses, well, I'd have to change it. So I think what happened here, if I'm understanding correctly, is by adding that last house, that then necessitated bringing the driveway up to standards.
So I guess that's the question I would have. So it seems like, from the read, is either the initial permit in subdivision was granted incorrectly, or like there's nothing that says when you go from two to three you need to make a change.
Okay.
Right.
There's
and
three.
And I think there may have been some, like, I don't know that the, sorry, do you want to
go
chime
ahead.
In?
I'm just, so the way I see it, like this is a private road at this point. It's called Milkweed Lane, right? So it has a road name. And I think that it, when you first did the administrative subdivision, nobody probably checked that grade. And then since you had to go through this formal process of an actual subdivision, like application, that's when the condition was put in. And maybe someone missed it the first time. I wasn't here. I've only been here for 3 months, but that's the way I understood it. And I don't, I mean, the driveway grade is for one house alone, like no matter what, like you have to meet that driveway grade. So I don't think it's necessarily like because there's three houses or two, it's just that you're building.
Well, so I guess some kind of two thoughts there. I mean, one, if the answer is something was missed the first time around or the for that second house, I guess I understand that. I think that if then we did a number of things that kind of relied on that decision. So I don't know. So then I don't know what the procedural sort of basis for applying for something is, but it seems.
Yeah, I don't either.
Unfair that whoever did the, you know, just didn't look at the plats and say, and check the driveway grade. So that seems plausible that maybe somebody missed it, but.
And I think maybe it was done at the, you know, at the zoning administrator level. I thought I heard something to the effect that it should have come to this board. I don't know if that's true, but you know, which again, I don't know what the remedy to that is or whether that matters or not.
I guess I would ask for the remedy, you know, procedurally, whether, you know, we can say, so again, I mean, is it the building of a house that triggers the, is it doing an addition? Like what, at what point do we require driveways to be rebuilt? Because I do think we could probably go through the record and find homes that had garages built that were at the top of driveways, which didn't.
Sure. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we then throw away, you know, the requirements. Perhaps what happened here, and you know, and I'd have to, you know, dig back into the history. It is a confusing one. You know, perhaps if there was a mistake made, okay, but then are we potentially, you know, worsening the mistake or relying on that mistake to grant additional permits for additional homes up there?
I guess the only thing that I would suggest is that it's, I would use the singular.
Okay.
An additional permit. Additional home.
Yep.
Because I realize this is maybe semantics, but.
No, I think it's good to be accurate.
The fourth one would, you know, so if it was two more, then there's no question to me of what the requirement is.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Can I offer something? This is Allison, and I'm an alternate on the board, so maybe I'm part of the public right now. I just have a question.
Go ahead, Allison.
I saw on the materials that were presented for tonight's hearing a letter from the fire department saying that because of the nature of their trucks and their equipment, that they could not guarantee to be able to serve a house that the approach had a greater than a 12% grade. Mm-hmm. And so this sounds like a safety issue too. I don't know whether we can pursue that further. I'm just saying I saw that letter on tonight's stuff. And I think that that's also an issue.
Wait just a minute. Were there two letters?
There was two letters, and for the record, Tyler Nation, the new zoning administrator. So there was two letters from the fire, from the fire chief. There's one for, and I labeled those when I sent those to you. One was dealing with 175 Milkweed, and the other one was dealing with 808, which is the more problematic one, which is the house that's furthest back. The lower can be served by the fire department. The issue is
the
upper one, and having multiple conversations with the fire chief this week on this particular issue, here they are quite adamant about that switchback and the need that they cannot guarantee providing fire service to anything that's above 175.
All right, Allison, did you understand? Wait just a minute. Did you understand, Allison, the response that we recognize that there is a letter?
Yeah, there were two letters.
Right.
Yes, but I think that if we were talking about extending the driveway, and if that extension part of it was above 12%, I thought that maybe I misunderstood. I'm not claiming complete understanding. I'm just saying that this is something that we have to get clear.
You are correct. Your understanding is correct, and yes, it is something that we have to consider.
Can we clarify that?
Yeah, because that was
a... Yeah, okay, one at a time. Yeah. Go ahead.
So this is where the existing house is.
Right.
So above the existing house meets driveway standards is under 12%. So above 175 is within all standards.
All right, but that's not what...
That's not what's
in the record.
No, and I can pull. Give me a second. I can pull
them up for
you. Hey guys, while you're pulling that up, I just want to first of all, I want to apologize to both my colleagues on the board and to the applicant. I have to leave.
Who's speaking?
That's David.
David.
David, slower. So, we can't hear you.
I'm sorry. So I have to leave, and I apologize both to the board and to the applicant. But I just wanted to say a few things, right? So first of all, we have to be very careful. It's important that when mistakes are made in zoning by planning boards or by administrators, that they do not set precedent. So I think we sort of have to put away that argument unless the applicant wants to make a sort of detrimental reliance argument to the board. But I think that rather than do that, I would recommend, and I'm not going to be able to vote on this tonight, but I do recommend executive session on this. I think it would be very useful if the applicant sort of put together a chronology and put together a letter for the board to sort of get some cogency into what they're claiming. And I also think the applicant should meet with the zoning administrator to talk about whether a variance is an appropriate tool here. I'm somewhat familiar with this site. I think that the criteria for variance may be met here, and I think that should be argued in the alternative. In the meantime, I will volunteer myself to make sure that I'll write a little memo to our board so that we can at least all get on the same page as to what the requirements are here and try to figure this out. And again, I do apologize, but I have to leave the meeting early. So goodbye, everybody.
Okay, David, thank you.
Thanks, David.
That's it, David.
All right.
So, David, can I ask a question about this email?
I haven't looked at it yet. Wait a minute.
Yeah, so this was the one we're saying. So there's two emails. There's the one that's, if you want to pull up the one for 175, which is the lower portion of the driveway, which is right there. Yeah.
Doing our thing.
That's two Rogers' house. That's up the 15%.
Okay, yeah, that's the portion. That's the problem.
All right, now is that the one at the top of the hill, or is that the one at the bottom of the hill?
Bottom.
That's where the issue is.
One that doesn't meet standards is okay. The one that does meet standards,
I think the issue
may not be okay, but he doesn't really say that.
The issue what he, and from talking to the chief and from the way at least I read the emails, is that the part that's okay is he can get to that because there isn't a structure behind that. So the part where the road gets steeper. So, well, we don't have to go up there, therefore we can serve 175. It's the issue is trying to get up. The only way to get at the other houses is to go through the part they can't get up,
which is
to serve further houses.
So the part that they keep that, so a couple thoughts here. So one, 175 is after the steep part of the driveway. 175 is after that's the part of the driveway that we're talking about. So above 175, we're not talking about.
If he can get to 175, the rest of the driveway.
So,
can you go to his email so we can look at that one?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
This one?
Second one.
And Allison, my thought on your concern, I mean, I am very concerned about this email, honestly. And I, one, because there are a lot of houses in town that now cannot be accessed by the fire department. That explicitly cannot be accessed.
I don't think he's. I don't think he says that.
I don't think so either.
Our fire apparatus cannot access homes or driveways that exceed the 12% grade.
Yeah. To some degree, I feel like
we don't have control over.
Wait, Allison. Somebody else is talking. Yeah. Go ahead.
I just, to some degree, that maybe this is a rabbit hole, and it could maybe trying to decide what
what is it you want to focus on? I liked David's, you know, suggestion of, you know, a chronology, a letter explaining what your particular concern is. Obviously, this is all related to safety at some level, so we can go down this rabbit hole if everyone wants to, but no.
I think the question, though, is if, like, I think David recommended trying to maybe go for a variance, and this seems like it would play into that.
I think it would need to be clarified, because I think we could all interpret both these emails a little differently.
And I think you better make sure that you, when you, if you go for a variance, you have to look at the regulation, because it's hard to get a variance.
Well, it was our understanding there wasn't a variance.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know.
I think a waiver and variance. So I guess I would sort of question it a little bit, in that if there was a mistake, so number one, if where is it sort of shown that when you build an additional house, you need to change grandfathered structures? I guess that would be kind of my first question. Can we document somewhere that a driveway has been changed, a grandfather driveway has been changed because of something that happened?
So you're asking us to show you some precedent. But this doesn't really work on precedent.
Or regulation or anything. I mean, I just think if we're gonna, so what we have is a decision that was made, and whether there were mistakes or whatever, there's precedent going the other way, right?
I'm not concerned about precedent. I'm concerned about the regulations and whether or not you're complying with the regulations.
So I guess then I would sort of ask, where in the regulations does it say that you need to change the grandfathered driveway?
Okay, that goes back to the decision that was made when you left here the last time. You had a requirement that in order to build this house, you had to change the driveway.
Right.
That was your requirement. Now you've come back and you've said, wait a minute, we don't want to change the driveway.
Well, we're asking what that
condition is. I think what he's asking is why was that required?
Okay, well, I can't answer that question because I don't remember why it was required, but I remember we discussed it for a great deal of time. But the point is, now you're asking us to change it, and we've already made that decision. That's past us. So is it a waiver? Is it a variance? I don't know those things. I don't know what you're asking, because it isn't really clear. If you're asking for a waiver, do we have a waiver provision? I don't even know if we do that. So this is something I have to find out, and we need to discuss. But if it would help us if we had a little more information just to actually what you want to achieve. And if you want to achieve what you want to achieve is just leaving the driveway the way it is and building three houses, if that's the end of your, the extent of what you want to achieve, then.
And procedurally, however we need to do that, I think we have a neighbor that asked us to not cut those trees. I think there's reasons to leave it the way it is. So
I'm not sure we can tell you the procedure, but we can, I'm not sure what we can do at this point, because I need to look. Can you add anything to this? Can you help me?
No, I mean, I think, my recollection from last time is we simply just got to the
Matt.
Yeah. Well, I think one way or another, I think you need to know exactly what you're looking for specifically out of this hearing, so that we know what to decide on. And then one way or another, you know, we have to make a decision in theory tonight, one way or another. That doesn't mean it's necessarily the end of this whole saga, but we have to know what you're asking for tonight. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Well, I think that I understand what they want.
Well, can I just clarify one thing? Because our original, I think, cover letter made a request, right, to sever the condition of the driveway to specifically our certificate of occupancy. So I think what we'd be asking for tonight is to sever that, and I know there's conditions for this, but to sever that so that we may be able to move into our house and continue this conversation about the driveway. And if you decide, as this continued conversation, that we do need to change the driveway, then we do that, but we don't necessarily need to do that prior to attaining a CO.
Okay, so you want to get a CO as fast as you can and debate the driveway as you go, more or less. I understand. And whether or not we can achieve that for you is I don't know that, because I don't know what, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand.
It's a square peg, and I don't know where to put it.
Mm-hmm. Roger.
Yes.
One thing just to note with that, and I get where you guys are coming from with wanting to close out the construction loan. The one thing to bear in mind is one of the conditions of the CO is that you meet public works specifications on the road. So even if you, so it can't really be severed is the problem. I don't believe that from talking to Ravi about it, I don't believe Richmond's zoning allows for
conditions. Wait, how was that other house allowed? And I at some point, like, the magnitude of the previous mistake seems incredible. And we invested a lot of money. We made decisions based on, honestly, where we were going to build houses and how we were going to build houses. And because we didn't have to change the driveway, then we didn't add a third house up above. So, at some point, like, I'm just a little bit at a loss as to how we can come to what seems to me to be a little bit of a very dichotomous standing.
Can I jump in again with this? So I think we had back and forth. So I thought this was a path forward, severing. So it sounds like it's not.
You can issue a CO, but it would be a violation at the same time. But since you guys have shown like involvement, it could be somewhat informal, but we would have to like stay on it, is kind of what I had gotten from the conversation.
Right,
no one's ever
from having that. And again, I apologize for this. You know, I'm kind of, I know this is kind of awkward for you. You're kind of stepping in with in a little bit of a transition in the department. From my conversations that I've had, I understand that, you know, several, and this was, I think Suzanne was two zoning administrators ago at this point, issued COs with conditions. I'm having conversations with Ravi. So again, I just took long, but was that she was and but now basically is that the I would worry about just moving forward is that, and I'm sympathetic to the situation that you're in, but once I do that for you, then it's going to be it's kind of open that. So I think I'm trying to, when I would look at this to try and be nice, because I don't move it forward, so I would,
this would be inconsistent based on how it has been done. So if you're trying to change and be consistent in a forward-looking way,
that's why I'm going forward.
I think that this, we're starting to get a little bit philosophical here. We have a request in front of us, and we need to make a decision on the request if it fits within our ability to do so. And I think that's what we need to focus on right now. And in order to do that, we're going to have to talk about it.
Should we move to continue, so we have the end, and then also go to deliberative?
Well, that gets plenty. I don't know how you. What is that noise?
It's just. What do you mean? It gets down to money.
Well, I mean, if we move to deliberative, then we've closed the meeting. Have we not, David?
That's true.
And if we close the meeting, then they would have to start all over again. So it would be best then to continue in case we require them to do something else in order to fit their request within our regulations.
How do we have the conversation to figure out what?
Is it
fair to think that because this condition was added by Suzanne, that would be fair in this case?
I don't think that we have as a board have the ability to make that decision. We need to focus on what we have the ability to do. We don't sit here without boundaries. You know, what you can come up and say to us, well, you know, we were we were wrong before. What are we supposed to do now? And I have to look in here. I don't have the ability to make decisions just because I happen to be sitting on this side of the desk. I have to have a reason for it. Now, maybe in the past, people haven't done that sitting here. But I think that those of us who sit here now make sure that we have some guidelines and play within the rules that we have. So we had to take this request that you have and categorize it somehow and make sure that we have the power to make a decision one way or the other.
I have a question, and maybe this is philosophical and maybe it's not.
Go ahead.
But there are some things that are not covered in the regulation, right? You can't cover every situation within the regulation, right? That's why you have, I guess on the legal side, you call it common law. So that's why you have decisions that are made out of which flows further definition to the rules.
That's what judges do, but I'm not sure that's what boards do.
If it doesn't say a grandfathered driveway is or is not a driveway for the purposes of the, you see what I mean?
I understand exactly what you mean.
You have to use judgment to make that call,
But just like any judge would do, we would need to have some authority to make a ruling, if you want to call it that. All right. So we have to have some reason. We can't just say, oh yeah, that sounds right, yeah, or that sounds like good, or that, you know.
I think what Roger Brown is saying is if it's not clear, it's not like we still have to make a decision one way or another. And so if it's not clear what those guidelines are, we still have to make a decision. We can't just not make a decision just because the guidelines don't tell us which way to make the decision. And so I think, again, Roger Brown, you tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth, but I think you're saying that in this situation, it is a little bit gray possibly, and I don't know. I'll leave it to you, but that was my thought was, we have to make a decision one way or another. Just because it's not in the regulations doesn't mean we can't. Yeah. Anyway,
it seems like it's gray, and there is a decision that goes both ways. And I procedurally, we need to come up with some method of whether it's a variance or some sort of appealable mechanism.
Well, and
a decision would be appealable.
A decision would be appealable.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, we were aware of the facts last time. I think what we decided was, you know, if you want to add a home to a driveway that does not meet standards, then that driveway needs to be brought up to standards. And I understand that didn't happen with the first home. But I don't think that grants us the ability necessarily to say, yeah, you don't have to do it now. I think that's where we're stuck.
Point to where that requirement flowed from, I guess?
I think it is, you know, not to be smart, but I mean, it comes from zoning regulations, you know, driveways need to meet standards. And so you want to add another home up there, well, then your driveway needs to meet standards. That may have been true when you added the previous home, but I would say that at some level doesn't matter. It matters a lot for you guys in terms of what you relied on from you know, the town in terms of informing your plans. But I think I don't think the regulations have to get into what do you do with a grandfathered drive, a grandfathered road. I mean, I think that is how we operate. Like if you have a old grandfathered road that doesn't meet standards and serves one lot, and you want to add a couple houses up there, well, it's going to have to meet standards going forward.
So in terms of severing the CO,
I don't know what we would rely on to do that. I mean, we can't, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So if what you're asking us to do is to sever the CO or sever this regulation or requirement from the CO, we would have to sit here and determine whether or not it's even possible for us to do that. So if that's what you're asking, then let's move to deliberative session and make that decision and give you a decision within 5 days, just like we would normally. And I don't mean we're going to take 45 days. I'm just saying you would fall into that category where we have to make a decision.
Left the last meeting in what I would say is a similar state. And you guys went into deliberative session and you were hit with this. So if you're just saying we've made our decision and we're going to reject your...
You mean what I'm saying right now?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I want to take into consideration what you've taught me.
The purpose of deliberative session, if it's,
Okay. Okay, well, we made a request to sever the tie between the condition and obtaining a certificate of occupancy.
To be clear, that was our way of getting in front of
us. Well, that could be, but that's what we have in front of us.
Yep.
So my first question when I look at this is, does this board have the power to do that? And I don't know that answer because nobody's ever asked that before that I've been here. So if we do have that power, then...
So you could reject that, but issue our CO with a condition?
I don't issue COs. I can't do that. I don't have anything to do with that. All I'm doing is acting on the question that's in front of me and seeing if I have the right to do that. If the board, this board doesn't have the right to sever that tie,
then what I would say we will do is we'll go back to these guys and say, you told us we couldn't apply for a waiver or a variance, but the only way to get in front of the DRB was to go down this path. But they talked about a waiver and a variance. So we'll try again.
To be clear, I don't know that there is that ability. I haven't looked at the waiver language since last time. I don't know.
This is a way to have the conversation.
Why? We're having it, right? I mean, not to...
To say, you asked for this.
Oh, but we do have to ask. We do have to act on that decision. And
I hope you know our intent.
We certainly know your intent. It's very clear.
If in deliberative session you have follow-up questions or anything, can we do that or no? It's just sort of you have to come up with a decision and then... If we'd like to appeal, we can.
You can in deliberate session, you can figure out that you don't have enough information, and you can be open and ask the applicant to give you more.
Okay.
I just was curious if you were to say,
just blurt out a decision without...
No, just something that you want needed for more from us, because it didn't feel last time whatever. I just didn't know. That was enough. Procedural.
So I guess the question for you is that if you were hit with this last time and you were not happy with it, why didn't you appeal it?
That's what I talked to Reddy for a while and I guess when this is not her.
I know, I'm just saying that you're asking us why.
This is our appeal.
Procedurally.
I get it. We know that.
I understand. I'm just saying that, we're bound by the procedure. We are the victims of what we've created here, and it works on both sides.
Yeah, right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you said you were willing to reroute the driveway to meet grade standards when you were in last time?
I don't know that we have a choice, right?
But I thought you guys, you're suggesting that, was a surprise, but I really thought you talked about that and you said that was a possibility or you were willing. So
I didn't want you guys to say at all. Right. So it's
understood.
I do think the and I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jim, but there was a lot invested on the basis of what seems like was maybe just poorly thought out zoning decision making by CJ. So there was a lot of money, a lot of time invested in this idea that because it's not three houses, because it's not four houses, this part of the driveway doesn't need to change. This is who is going to live up there and what we're going to do. And so I think when you come in and have a huge investment and you need a house to live in, I mean, so I think it's easy to say that the zoning process just needs to
kind of flow in this linear way, when in reality it's people's lives and people's homes, and it's ultimately when you're presented with, can you move forward with building something? Well, yeah, we need to do that, and then let's solve the other problems when we solve the other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I respect the zoning process as the way it needs to go. Although, to be honest with you, I don't know if you were on the VRB when you dealt with Buttermilk. I was on the select board, and that was a nonlinear zoning process.
I came in at the tail end. It was kind of mind-bending.
They built stuff that didn't even fit in what they said they were going to build, and then they got allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. So I also have experience with nonlinearity of zoning processes.
We'll try to keep linear. So what do we want to do? I mean,
we want to go into deliberative session. And then if we need further information to make a decision, then we'll ask you for it.
So moved.
Matt, I need a second.
Second.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
We will. All in favor?
No, I'm sorry. Aye.
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 Barely a quorum at this point. So.
All right. Thank you very much. We understand. And Roger, I'm not as linear as you think. And I understand absolutely what you're saying. Are we done? Can I talk to him? Anyway.
Well, we have other business. Sorry.
My point isn't that you are linear. My point is that
I don't
know what I'm doing. We're good. Anyway, we need to close the meeting still.
This made me doubly glad that I'm not on the select board anymore.
Thank you
for fulfilling that desire.
So do we have minutes? Boy, we didn't have a meeting
minutes from last meeting, or remember, I was 3 minutes late. I missed the whole meeting.
Yeah,
we never approved the February ones either.
Oh,
take over. Here, I'm done.
So yeah, you did an admirable job.
At least you got an easy project.
I'll never forgive you for this.
I'm sorry.
This will cost.
I did know Matt was traveling. Was there any even minutes from?
Yeah, there were the last time. Yes,
there was like a line of minutes.
We approve them.
Okay. Yeah,
well, and then there's also February.
Everyone in favor of approving those minutes?
Of March, yes.
March minutes.
I don't have anything to say about it because I wasn't here. But
do we want to put off February?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Do we want to go in the deliberative session? Do you guys have energy to go to the deliberative session?
I think we need to talk. Cycle? I'd like to talk on what?
All cycle.
I think we should spend a little time on both of these.
And we should make
sure
that
we'll have to reconvene too.
Don't we have a fourth one here?
The fourth one is Bressler.
So we need to discuss, are there any contingencies or conditions that we want to put on Bressler?
We can't. We already made the decision.
No. Okay.
Besides which, you'll never build it.
So do we want to conclude?
Let's conclude.
And move to deliberative session.
And move to deliberative
session. Okay, so all in favor of closing the meeting?
Aye.
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 Great. Okay.
So
stop the recording.